So I'm here to share on interior freedom. It's the book that we are journeying together as a community. If I had time to edit it, I could edit it down because Lydia covered much of the key points that I wanted to illustrate. Thank you, Lydia. But brothers and sisters, that's the way that the Holy Spirit works, okay? He's active, he's alive, he's speaking to us. If you invite him in, he will speak and he will bring you examples, as he did Nancy. He will provide answers to our life's questions, as he did Lydia. And so we, the coordinators, are convinced that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us as a community through the book. And so I encourage you to join together with us in this search for interior freedom together. There's copies in the vestibule if you don't already have one. I'm going to cover just the first section of the first chapter. So if you haven't read it yet, I'll be covering pages 9 through 31, and then we're just going to continue to work our way through Lent and Easter. Interior freedom. You know, freedom is an interesting word. Growing up in the United States, we hear about our freedoms, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. We hear of the many who have paid the ultimate price to enable us to be free. Freedom seems foundational to us as Americans. That said, we can see in our culture also how the perception of rights and freedoms can be taken too far by either imposing our rights on others or being so self-centered that we view everyone and everything from the perspective of consumerism and entitlement. But these are topics for another sharing. What I want to reflect on this afternoon is a different type of freedom, interior freedom. This freedom is the subject of Jacques Philippe's book that we're using. And when anytime I prepare a sharing, I always like to start with the Word of God. So I'd like to read John 8:32, "The truth shall set you free." Galatians 1:5-1, "For freedom, Christ set us free." And 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So it's very clear from these scriptures that our Lord wants us to be free. And as I reflected on this and thought of the millions of people in our world today and through the centuries, they probably all wouldn't say that they were free. So that leads us to this book, and it led me to Jacques Philippe and to see what he had to say on the subject. But I was struck by the statement, and Lydia brought this up in her sharing earlier, quote, "True freedom is a gift of God, a gift of the Holy Spirit, received in the measure that we place ourselves in a relationship of loving dependence on our Creator and Savior." Thinking about this statement, I had to admit some confusion. Freedom coming proportionate to a loving dependence on our Creator. And he also says it is proportionate to the love and childlike trust that we have for our Heavenly Father. Now, this for me was somewhat counterintuitive. Freedom coming from dependence, coming from our trust of the Heavenly Father. Now, this seems exactly opposite to my understanding of the American freedom, with its desire for independence and health and wealth and a total lack of dependence on anyone. Maybe this was another one of those biblical paradoxes, like the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I read on. Next, he states that freedom comes proportionate to our growth in faith, hope, and love. As I quieted my spirit and pondered the concept of interior freedom, the word peace, of course, came to mind. How would I approach embracing peace deep within? So I reflected on when I have been the most at peace. And it turns out it was not the times that I was most successful, making choices, having things work out the way I wanted. No, I experience the most inner freedom when I let go of a situation with the confidence that God was in control. Now it was starting to make sense. Freedom as a gift of the Holy Spirit, free for our asking, that will grow as we let go of our own agendas, desires, wants, and needs, focusing on ourselves only traps us into the attention on what we do not have, not on what our loving Father, who abundantly loves and cares for us, wants for us. My interior freedom can grow as I continue to mature in abandoning myself to Him with faith and confidence in His love for me. So the more I love Him, the more I put hope in Him, the more I put my faith and trust in Him, the less I'm focusing on the rat race that the world tempts me with, and the more I can focus on peace and the gift of interior freedom. Testing this, I thought of the saints and the books that I read about their lives. These are clearly men and women who were free. They didn't care what the world thought of them. They were hopelessly in love with our Lord, and this powered their ability to act freely, to ignore the image of success the world would paint and love God passionately and give themselves to Him, to serve Him. The saints were courageous for Christ. They were truly free inside. So, brothers and sisters, standing here before you, I can testify to this truth. I have been overwhelmingly blessed by God and blessed by your witness and example. Your witness and example have shown me firsthand that I don't need to pursue the things that the world and our culture pushes upon me. I can follow the example of God's word, His saints, and your example and live free. I can continue to develop my sense of freedom by my daily surrender, by growing in faith, hope, and love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I also want to give testimony to a few who have particularly helped me grow in interior freedom. The first was when I was young, before cell phones. Neil Coward was attending an event at St. Rita's. And we, because we lived physically close to St. Rita's, got the call that his home had caught fire and burnt. So when he found out, his reaction, he responded without anger, without angst, and simply said the words, "Praise the Lord." His response left a lasting impression on me. This was a man that was in love with the Lord, who had full faith and trust that everything would work out, and was free to respond to a terrible situation with praise. Another example was Vi Besner, as we talked about her health and God calling her home. She was not afraid. She had served our Lord and you and I for her entire life. And as her health started to fail, she was not mad or anxious. She was free to welcome her own passing through the veil. She witnessed interior freedom to me. The third example comes not from a specific person, but from observing the lives of so many community brothers and sisters who've gone before us. One blessing of our community is that we come from all walks of life and socioeconomic backgrounds. The world would have us believe that we have to be wealthy to be free, to be happy. But what I learned from community is that the freest, happiest people seem to be those who have rejected the world's agendas and lived simply and humbly. You know, I could go on and on, but simply put, I believe my interior freedom, my ability not to worry or chase the world's agendas, is a direct result of your witness, your example, your surrender, and your lives trying daily to grow in faith, hope, and love of our Lord. So, brothers and sisters, my hope and prayer is that each of us say yes to our Lord a little more every day, growing in faith, hope, and love of Him, so that we are free, truly free, from the inside out, to welcome whatever our day brings with all the love we can muster, regardless of our particular circumstance, so that we can witness the joy of our interior freedom. Amen.